stopped last time, 2 weeks ago on Thursday, on the name of Allah SWT as At-Tawwab. We were discussing the names of Al-Afu, Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghaffar, and At-Tawwab. And today we'll be talking about the names Al-Raqib, Al-Shaheed, Al-Sami' Al-Basir, and also Al-Hafif and Al-Latif. Hopefully by next Thursday we'll finish this series that we started almost 2 months ago. So we'll be done with the 99 names of Allah SWT by next Thursday. If you can bring some suggestions next Thursday, any topic, I know some of you already have suggested some topics, but if you have any topics to start 2 weeks from today, meaning not next Thursday but Thursday after that, then inshallah you can bring them next Thursday suggestions, or you can email me when I email you on the list. You can reply back on that also and let me know of your suggestions, because we'll be done with this topic by next week inshallah. The names of Allah SWT, Al-Raqib and Al-Shaheed. Al-Raqib comes from the root word of Raqab. Raqab literally means the neck of a person, in a way. And when Allah SWT says Al-Raqib, meaning very watchful, when somebody is watching behind your back, so when somebody is observing you very closely, keeping a close eye on you, meaning protecting you, preserving you, so that is the understanding of the meaning of Allah SWT's name, Al-Raqib, that He is so Raqib with us, that He's so watchful of us, that at many times we may not be that much. You know, the best way to give an example, understand, is those of us who are parents, father, mother, when we become a father and mother, we are very Raqib for our children. We try to be overprotective, over watchful, try to see, you know, say, Dear Balik, be quiet, be careful. You know, when a child, a toddler, 1 year old, 2 year old is walking, or you see there's an imminent danger or something, you say, be careful. So you're keeping an eye on a small young boy or young girl, always trying to, you know, protect from the protective nature. That is just to give you a worldly example. Allah SWT says Raqib, meaning He's Raqib of the Mu'mineen and the Ibad. He's watching behind us and He's always protecting us. We may not know, many times things come our way, but they get averted, they get diverted, they get deviated, and we are saved. Just because we are healthy, alhamdulillah, and we are safe, alhamdulillah, it does not mean that there is nothing coming towards us. Every day there is bala and balaya coming towards us. But Allah's mother, who was Raqib, is protecting us in many different ways. Just because it's not visible or tangible or visual, it does not mean that we don't estimate it. We underestimate it at times. That is one meaning of Raqib. The other meaning of Raqib, Allah is making us realize, Mu'mineen, you are never away from the sight of Allah SWT. That is why this name is in conjunction with the name of Ash-Shaheed. Shaheed from Shahada, witness, testimony, you know, being a proof. So Allah SWT is Shaheed, Shaheedun ala ibadihi, Shaheedun alayna, meaning He is always watching us. He is always witnessing, meaning nothing on the Day of Judgment will miss. Everything will be given in front of us, presented to us, and we will not be able to deny. See, in this dunya, if somebody gives us a proof or something, we may deny it. We may try to obscure, thinking that maybe we will be able to obscure or fool the person. But here we're talking about Al-Raqib al-Shaheed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, Yawm al-Qiyamah, when He presents to us the dala'il, the burhan, the proofs, our nafs itself cannot deny. Meaning the proof is so concrete and so great that even if the nafs wants to, cannot, because it is just killing itself. And because already the ahwal of qiyamah are so heavy and burdensome that the nafs would not like to make jidal, mujadala, argumentation and debate with Allah SWT. They are rather easily subdued. So that is one of the connection between Raqib, the most watchful, and Ash-Shaheed, the most witnessing, or the witness Allah SWT. And with these two names are also connected As-Sami' al-Basir, the all-hearing. As-Sami' al-Basir, the all-seeing. So Allah is keeping an eye on our watchers through His ilm, al-alim, through His khabir, khabar, al-khabir, through His hikmah, al-hakim, through His hearing. But when we say hearing, we don't say that, oh, Allah has ears like us. How Allah hears? Allahu alam, Allah knows best. But we do just say Allah is hearing every single thing. When it comes to the issue of hearing, look at the hadith of Rasulullah. If you're done over here, you can pass the list back to the sisters. If the sisters want to add on their phone number or emails to be on the email list. When it comes to hearing this incident of Sayyidina Aisha Ritaranga is very mind-boggling, very amazing. You know Surah Mujadala, we read Surah Mujadala many times. This is in the Juz of Qad Sami'a, 58th surah in the Qur'an, 28th Juz, para in the Qur'an, starts off. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُ مَا زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهُ. Allah SWT is here clearly saying, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ. Allah has clearly heard the wife that is making mujadala, that is making the discussion or argumentation about her husband to the Rasul. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, she says in a hadith which is mentioned by Bukhari that she said, Subhanallah, may Allah be glorified, I am the Zawja of Rasul in the next door, next room. Like, no, they didn't have walls or woods, it's curtain. I am next door. I did not hear this woman, Khawla. That was the name of the Sahabiya, the woman companion. Khawla was the one, Rayta al-Anha, is the one that came and made ishtika ilallah, ila Rasul and to Allah. And she, Aisha Rayta al-Anha, is in the next room, next door. She said, Subhanallah, may Allah be glorified, I am the wife of Rasulullah in the Hujra, in the next place. I did not hear Khawla until Allah told us, meaning all the mu'mineen, in Surah Mujadila. And then she said, Allahu Sami'. This is the meaning of Sami'. What is she saying? She's saying, I am so close to Rasulullah. I am in the Hujra. Forget the house, the apartment, Hujra, room. Behind the curtain, on the other side, I don't hear the shikwa, shakawa of khayra, and Allah hears it. هَذَا هُوَ اللَّهُ السَّمِيعُ يَسْمَعُ الْجَهْرُ وَالْعَلَانِيَةُ وَيَسْمَعُ الْبَاطِنُ وَيَسْمَعُ الْخَيَالِ. This is Allah السَّمِيعُ who hears the apparent that is coming out from our mouths, that is coming in our brains, that is hidden in our heart. Because remember, even psychiatrists, if you ask them, they'll tell you, before any thought becomes a thought in the brain, where does it erupt? Where does it initiate, start? Qalb. And that's what Allah says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, لَا يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. They don't use it properly, don't think, meaning they don't protect and preserve their heart, and they don't utilize their heart in the proper way so that it can emanate into positive thinking, productive thinking. So before something comes to the tongue, it has a pre-stage in the brain. Before it gets to the brain, it has a previous stage in the heart. And before it can even initiate in the heart has to be clean. Therefore, if somebody has a dirty heart or a negative heart, that's why they have waswasa, negative khayal, negative thoughts, negative, you know, kind of emotions. But if their heart is taqwa, iman, khashya, they'll have positive thoughts. So this is Allah Sami' who hears the heart, hears the mind, hears the tongue, and here's things that we don't even think of. And this is the beauty of Allah SWT being a Sami'. But Allah does not hold us accountable on all that we think. This is according to the Hadith of Salam, when that ayah was revealed in Surah Baqarah. We recite that many times. The third last ayah in Surah Baqarah. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. That whole section. What is Allah saying? Allah is saying, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. If you show, if you make it apparent, if you make it visual, وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. Whatever is in your heart, whatever is in your chest, whatever is in your mind, if you exert, if you show it out, if you expose it, أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ. And if you hide it, يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. Allah knows it. And that is what Allah SWT is saying. But how does He know it? يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. حِسَابِ, احتساب, accountability. SubhanAllah. When the Sahaba heard this ayah, they began crying, shaking, Ya Rasulullah. Anything we think about someone? So what if I thought bad about this person, but I never said it to him, and I never let him fault, and I never exposed to him? Allah is saying, over here very clearly, in tubdu ma fi anfusikum aw tukhfuhu yuhasibkum bihi Allah. Allah will make hisab, Allah will like judge you, will do accountability and say, why did you think like that for that person? Why did you think in this way? Why did you think this for that person? So they got scared. Rasulullah then explained to them after this ayah was then complimented with another ayah later on from another surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them that He will only judge people for what is apparent and what they present. Amma khayal was left off. But initially, it was very stringent, very scary. But even what I think, even what I feel about someone, I'm going to be judged on that? There's no choice. How am I going to be left? I'm going to be totally blasted. There's no way getting to Jannah because thoughts erupt. Many times thoughts come. Shaitan puts waswas on thoughts. So if I get accountable for my thoughts, I'm dead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your capability, and whatever comes in you a thought, as the moment you have negative thought, what did Allah say to us through Rasulullah? Say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfar. Because the more you make istighfar, when negative thoughts come, you are clean, you are saved. Allah will not hold accountable. But if you let your negative thoughts play inside of you, and give it more meat, more bait, and then cultivate it, then grow it, and culturalize it, and bring it forward, now that is death. So, the root is being attacked. As-Sami'u al-Basir, he is all-seeing. And that is how he is Raqib. He is watchful because he is Basir. Al-Basir. And when we say Allah is seeing, does not mean like eyes with like us. No. How Allah sees? Allah Alam. Allah knows best. We accept it at face value that Allah is all-watching. And because Allah is Allah, like we said in the beginning of this series when we started many weeks ago, that we can, when Allah SWT talks about the faculties of hearing and seeing and watching and knowing, and it is nowhere comparable to what we have faculties of speaking and hearing and watching and thinking. Why? Because Allah is unique. For Allah Rabbul Izzal Jalala to be unique, for His Adaniya, He has to be different from His makhluk. Just because we have eyes as organs to see, and ears as tools to hear, and a brain as organ to think, it does not in any way mean that Allah has the same thing. But Allah is merely using these words and terminologies to make us better realize and understand that these faculties are in the realm, but in a different dimension, domain. When Allah says He sees, it is beyond anything. It is limitless. There is no limit. For us, everything is limited. I can't see what is behind this wall. I can't see what is behind this door. You can't see anything behind me even. What is behind me, you may not know. Maybe hiding something. What we can hear is only here. Maybe if two people in the back are whispering to each other, we may not be able to hear even. So our hearing, our sight, our brain, our thinking, our acquisition of knowledge, everything is limited, restrictive. Because we are makhluk, creation. And here lies the difference between makhluk, creation, and the khaliq, creator. For creator to be creator, yes, he is in the same faculty of seeing, but his seeing, beyond anything. Beyond where even imagination can last up to. That is why right now he's seeing us, and he's seeing 7-8 billion people on earth. He is even seeing the ant underneath the earth. He's even seeing the lavas that are still in hibernation. He's even seeing the seaweeds in the bottom of the ocean bed. We can't see anything such as that. So when you think about the seeing of Allah, your heart just glorifies. Tasbih, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. When you remember that Allah can even see the lava of an algae or lava of beetles or ants underneath the thousands of miles below the earth, it's amazing. Only tasbih comes out. Subhanallah. And since we are in these first 9-10 days of Zilhijj, Rasulullah said, which is an authentic hadith, that kathru, make a lot, kathra, abundance, make a lot of what? Tasbih, Subhanallah, tahmid, Alhamdulillah, tahleel, la ilaha illallah, takbir, Allahu Akbar. These four things we have to do abundant of. Yes, other than these 9 days of Zilhijj, we do it off and on a regular basis. But in these 9 days, he said, maximize it. Any opportunity you find, even 5 minutes break you find somewhere, let the tongue rolling, silently even. Because you don't want to miss these 9 days opportunity. These 9 days, 24 hours, multiply roughly about 190 hours is golden time. Time that will never come back again. And then it epics on the 9th of Zilhijj when you fast in solidarity with the Hujjaj who are there also. So this is the best time to make these, and that's why Allah SWT tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Certainly Allah SWT is very watchful, meaning be careful. Why is Allah saying He's Raqib? Making us realize in our brain, because if we memorize this name of Allah, يَا رَقِيبُ يَا رَقِيبُ يَا رَقِيبُ, this is the best deterrence against any corruption of the human heart. before you have any nefarious desires, before you have any negative thoughts even, before you even embark on adopting your negative feeling, when you remember Raqibu, 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 everything whitewashes. Everything goes down the drain. No, no negative thoughts. Raqib, watching. Allah is watchful, holding. Or you remember As-Sami'u, Al-Basiru. Yasami'u, Yabasiru. That's why making word, making zikr of Allah's name is one of the also best forms of zikr. In these days also we can make. You can, any name you memorize, just make zikr of that. You can say it 50 times, 10 times, 100 times. There is no limitation on number. Just enough so that it keeps, when we make the zikr of Allah's name, like you suppose, Ya Raqibu, Ya Raqibu, Ya Raqibu, it sinks into the brain, in the mind. And you'll see that your personality will adapt to this philosophy of Raqib. Because this is human nature, fitra. I'll show you a small example. Those ads that you have watched the most, do you usually end up buying that product? Do you usually end up buying a product? At least just to test it. If you don't like it even, then you don't buy it again. But at least the first initial time you bought it. Why? Repetition. It sunk in. Somewhere, that jingle of that ad or the name of that ad, it clicked and then you got it. When we repeat so many times Allah's name, somewhere, someplace, it will click and we will check our behavior. We will check our tongue. We will check our eye. We will check our ear. Because that name continuously repetitive in the brain, it becomes like an echo. It starts echoing. And that is the wisdom behind repetition. Many times people ask, especially kids that ask me in school, why do you make so many repetitions of the same thing? Subhanallah, 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 Alhamdulillah. Why is there so many repetition in Islam and Sunnah? Very simple. If the ad companies know better than repetition of the same ad, they don't show you one ad once and that's it. Because they waste all that money that they invested in it. For them, look how much money they invested just to get the ad, paying the model, paying the product and everything. And how much they invest money to get the time, air time. After all this investment, you think they're foolish to repeat the ad again and again? Wouldn't they want to save money? No, let's not repeat that either. No. Most of the successful ads, you see, they are repeated the most. Why are they successful? Because they know from the results of the market, people are buying that. So if we repeat a lot, this is the answer to any young child that asks you, Baba, Mom, why do you repeat so much? Why do you repeat Surah Fatiha so much in Salah? Why Allah made it mandatory, lazim, malzum? You have to recite Fatiha, otherwise your Salah is invalid. Why he made it mandatory? He's teaching us a lesson, wisdom. That if you really understand these seven ayats of Fatiha, you are a complete mu'min. Unless and until you understand these seven ayats, you can never become a complete true mu'min iman. And how little do we pay attention to these ayats? We just read it like a parrot, unfortunately, with regret. We never pay attention to what we're really reading, to the depth of the meaning of it, and implementing. How can I implement in my life, Ar-Rahman Rahim? How can I implement my life, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen? How can I implement in my day-to-day basis the Iyyaka Na'budu, Iyyaka Nasta'in? There are so many things we do on a daily basis that I can just list you over here right now, which is against Iyyaka Na'budu, Iyyaka Nasta'in. On a daily basis we do it and we're unmindful of it. Had we thought about Iyyaka Na'budu, Iyyaka Nasta'in, we'll never do those daily things. Moving on forward, the next name we have, Allah's mother, is Al-Hafiz. This is one of my favorites. Not as if not to say that all the names of Allah are favorite. Yes, all of them favorite. But why is this favorite? I'll tell you. Because this is one name that people very seldom think about. And this name is always in action in our lives. Al-Hafiz from Hafiza. Protection, preserver. It has two basic meanings to it. The protector and the preserver. Protector in terms of from any bala, masal, mashakil, fitna, fasad. Protector from any kinds of accidents, calamities, difficulties, problems, troubles, trials, tests. That is protection. Preserver, preserver of our a'mal. Our good deeds and our bad deeds. Our hifz, mahfuz, by Allah's will. He is Al-Hafiz. He protects our a'mal, our good deeds. Imagine, this is amazing. The way I explain this with kids, they really like it. I say, if I give you $10. Say, go and spend this $10 in the market and bring me back exact penny by penny account. What did you buy with these $10? Bring a basket and show me every single thing. This was 10 cents, this was a dollar, this was $5. And you have to add up to $10. If there's one penny missing, you're in trouble. Okay, we do that example. The child goes, comes back, he says, look, I bought 15 things, or I bought 20 things for $10. I count up. Everything is there. Can you relate to that $10? The $10 is no longer in your hand, is it? No, you spent it. If I were to ask you, where's the $10? The child, where's he going to point to? The basket. This is still my $10. I can liquidate it, right? That's why you have national wholesale liquidators. They get closed down stores, they take that, and they bring it to national wholesale liquidator, and then they liquidate it to you. And alhamdulillah, our sister is saying, oh, mashallah, it's so big sale, let's go, see? I always tell my wife, we always have this discussion. I say, why is it so cheap over here? I say, don't you know the name says it all? Liquidator. If I want to liquidate it, I just want to get rid of it. If I bought it for $50, then if I want to liquidate it, I can liquidate it for $5 even. If I just want to get rid of it, I can liquidate it for $5. But if I want to really sell it, I might sell it for $30 or $40. So liquidation is the main thing. In the same way, if I ask someone, there was that $10, I say, there is this. You go back, liquidate that back again in the market, you get your $10 back. The reason I'm giving you all this example is, on a daily basis, we may be spending not just $10, billions of dollars in terms of hasanat. But do you ever keep an account of? If you spend $500,000 on marketing, on shopping, you're going to store it somewhere, right? All the stuff that you're going to buy for $500,000, $500,000, will it fit in this room? Maybe, a lot. But whatever you buy, you come and put it somewhere, you store. Every time you look at it, you remember your $500,000. Yeah, that's where I spent it. Every day we are spending from our blood, sweat, from our effort in hasanat. Where are the hasanat? Where did they go? Do I have a basket of hasanat? Do I have a backpack? Do I have a storage box and a bank account? Do I have a treasure box in my home that is grilled in the wall or somewhere where I can see my hasanat? I mean, if you take accountability of yourself, whatever your age you are, 18, 25, 37, 40, 50, 60, you just say whatever age you are, you say, okay, since I became mature, balanced, until this age of mine, where are all my hasanat? Can I have a look at it? No. This system, Nizam, that Allah has made, can anybody tell me why? If Allah had given, through His mercy, a system where we can always look back, check back, oh, these are my hasanat. Or like a tree even. Oh, look at that hasanat tree. It's growing. It was back there. Now it's all the way up there. What's the wisdom here?
People may have jealousy against somebody.
There are many things. One is jealousy. What's the main thing? Thank you. Barakallahu fiqh. Allah ta'ala ya shaykh. I have done good. We don't see our hasanat any day. Still, there are many Muslims who have this philosophy. خلاص أنا حجيت وعمريت. I made zakat, I made my children all married, I have now grandchildren. Khalas, I'm enough, I'm going to Jannah. Now if I miss a prayer here or there, I miss a sayam over here, there, I miss a zakat once in a while, malish dar, no mush, no problem. Because I've done it. There are many Muslims like that. And as much as you might think this is ironic, there are people who exist like that. They think, oh, I'm 65 now, I've done so much. I've married my kids, I have nice daughter-in-laws, nice son-in-laws, nice grandchildren, I'm farigh now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the biggest hikmah that He did not give us anywhere to collect hasanat, no box, no nothing, no carrier, so that as long as you have hayat, life left in you, breath that you can take in and out, even there's hayat left in Sharon, as much as wherever he is right now, he's breathing. In other words, if it was a Muslim, and you were in this stage, what can a Muslim do? Can he accumulate hasanat? If there's a Muslim who has a stroke and who is paralyzed, just lying down on the bed, can he or she do anything still? Or is it the end of life for them? So easy question. Yes, tasbih. This is what Allah is saying, that as long as you are breathing, give thanks to Allah that you have still breath left in to accumulate deeds. And such deeds that you cannot see or touch or tangible. But they are protected by Al-Hafiz. Allahu Hafizun Alayna. He is protecting our deeds. He doesn't let the deeds waste. Nafidiyah. There is no wastage of deeds. Here in this world, if you hold a gallon of milk. No, that's not a good example. A gallon of, say, water. And you protect it. It doesn't go south. At best thing, it's Hajj time. A gallon of Zamzam. You brought so precious, so much attached to you. You don't want to let it waste. You're always protecting from one container to another container. You let people drink a little bit, one sip at a time. Because you say, I want to have this gallon of Zamzam, the last, maximum time that I can get, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. And that's a good thing about Zamzam, it never gets expired. There's no expiry date. The taste will never change. Even if you keep it for 5 years, you taste it, still the Zamzam as it was. This is one of the miracles of Allah. Because this water is not just ordinary water. So if you have that, now when you are filling Zamzam or putting in a container, it spills one drop here and there, wasted. Allah, the reason I'm saying that Allah is Al-Hafiz, not a single dharra of your good deed is wasted. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whoever does a smallest dharra of good deed, dharra meaning smallest speck, it will not be wasted. يَرَى خَيْرًا يَرَى. And also شَرَّيْن. Allah is saying, I'm Hafiz, I'm protecting your deeds, not just the good one, even the bad one. Now you might say, what's with this bad deed? Why doesn't it get wasted? This bad deed, if it gets wasted, is good for me, right? No. The scholars explain here in this name, Allah wants to show us. If inshallah, we get to Jannah, but remember, no one is an angel, no one is innocent. Those who will be getting to Jannah, they will have some mistakes, right? They will have some bad deeds. Can we say that the people who are getting to Jannah, they have no bad deeds? No. Well, except for the MBA and Shuhada and on, you know, the highest rank. But I'm talking an average Muslim who made it to the Jannah, he or she will still have bad deeds to look at. Allah is going to say, أَنَا حَفِزْتُهَا لَكُمْ وَالْآن خَلَاسْ. Go to Jannah. Imagine your feeling. Just imagine how you feel at that moment when Allah shows you the bad deeds and say, wrap it up, throw it, you're going to Jannah. Because Allah could have wasted that in dunya. So look, I don't worry about the bad deeds. I just worry about your good deeds. You came here, you came to the accountability court now. I, Allah, judge you, you're going to Jannah. No. Hafiz. Allah is Hafiz, protecting the good deeds and the bad deeds. Whatever we did, it's protected, intact, as it is. To show us what? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. This is the Rahmani of Allah. The old Mu'min, MashaAllah, you're successful. Oh Mu'min, you're worthy of getting a blessing. Oh Mu'min, you're worthy of being praised that you earned Jannah in spite of these bad deeds. Why? Because the good deeds, MashaAllah. And because of the Rahmah of Allah. Don't be mistaken, it's not just because of our good deeds that we're going to get to Jannah. According to the Hadith of Rasulullah, he said that nobody's going to enter Jannah illa bi rahmatin min Allah. And the Sahaba asked, Hatta anta ya Rasulullah? He said, Hatta ana illa an yataghammadani Allah bi rahmatin. He said, even I on my deeds cannot just enter. Except that Allah covers me is a ghannadin bi rahmati with his rahmah. So why is he saying that, Rasulullah? So that we don't become so foolish and naive thinking, oh, I've done so many good deeds, even if I have some bad deeds, no problem. I'm going to get to Jannah. No, it's the rahmah. And the rahmah of Allah's mother is what we should be seeking. Not just accumulating the good deeds, and that is what Al-Hafiz is. So I said the broad two meanings of Hafiz, Hafiz, it's two aspects, one protecting us from the bad and everything, and one preserving us from the deeds that we have, protecting and preserving our deeds for that day of judgment. There's one further sub-branch of this, of Hifz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah comes to Hifz, there is Aam and Khas. Khasatun Nas, meaning the elite class, the special people of Allah SWT. Al-Awliya, wal-Shuhada, wal-Siddiqeen, wal-Anbiya, Rusul, wa-Hasuna ulaika rafiqa, as Allah says in the Surah Nisa. The special elite class people, or Awliya Allah, Muttaqeen, Al-Muqarrabeen in Allah, those who are very close to Allah, for them Allah has another dimension of Hifz. See, when it comes to the protection of the nafs, because he protects everything. He protects us from whatever is dangerous to us. He also protects us from dying out. He provides the food for us. He provides a good living for us. He provides a good environment. Imagine if the atmosphere here just went so bad. Everybody's breathing the air and dying. One of the names of Allah, Al-Hafiz, he has protected your environment. Imagine if all this environment had carbon monoxide in it. Who's going to be alive here? You'll be having dead bodies lying on I-80 all over the place. So one of the hifz of Allah is hifz li jami' al-nas. Muslim, kafir, munafir, mushrik, majus, everybody is mahfuz fi hala. In this dunya, if you look at it, everybody is mahfuz. When it comes to hifz bil daraja, there is a second. Once everybody, kullu bani adam is mahfuz, then your next daraja, al-muslimin. Then your majd, muhsineen, muqarribin, awliya, and then the shuhada, and then the anbiya, rusul. This is how daraja, it's like a pyramid. And the Shaykh over here says, Shaykh al-Qahtani in his book, very beautiful point, is حِفْظُ لِخَاصَةِ النَّاسِ. How? يَحْفَظُهُمْ عَمَّ يَظُرُّ إِيمَانُهُمْ أَوْ يُزَلْزِلْ إِيقَانُهُمْ مِنَ الشُّبْهِ وَالْفِتْنِ وَالشَّهَوَاتِ وَاللَّذَّاتِ فَيُعَافِيهِمْ مِنْهَا وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنْهَا بِسَلَامَةٍ وَحِفْظٍ وَعَافِيَةٍ. What is he saying? Saying the special elite class people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects, saves their iman, protects and saves their khashya and taqwa, saves their yaqeen, min al-shubuhat. It's a very, very important principle. Because no matter how powerful a mu'min is, if one shubha, one doubt enters, it can kill the whole yaqeen and iman, and within seconds the person is like zindiq. You know Zindiq? Almost. Atheist. A person who has nice beard, full kufi, or a hijab, a jilbab, a person, Muslim, muttaqi, praying five times a day, fasting, not just Ramadan, fasting Shawwal, Zilhijj, Mondays and Thursdays, can turn atheist from just one shubha, one doubt. If I just begin to think, If Shaitan really wants to corrupt any mu'min, he just has to instill one question in the brain, keep you thinking like a merry-go-round on that question, and you will be dead. That, where is Allah? Now, if you become adamant and stubborn, where is Allah? I want to know where Allah. Keep thinking on this question. If you think too much, you might go into the realm of an unknown zone and get lost. So one of the ways that Allah protects His mu'mineen, His awliya, muqarrabeen, awliya, and we say is the prayer of wali. Wali Allah is someone who is a friend of Allah. I mean, Allah, ittakhad Allah waliya. Allah takes people, average Muslims from dunya, Allah takes someone as a wali. And the wali, he or she herself don't know if they are wali of Allah. Only Allah knows who is wali. But the mu'mineen, baqi, the other people, they know if somebody is a wali when they sit in their companionship and they remember Allah. Whenever they are sitting with someone in their companionship and they remember Allah, wa dhakrullah, and their iman feels different, that is a sign, at least a sign or symbol, not with surety and guarantee, that this person, he or she is a wali of Allah. So for the awliya of Allah, how does Allah protect them? Protect their iman, protect their yaqeen, protect their taqwa. How you may think Allah protects someone's iman, preserves them and protects them, hafiz, yahfidhuhum, from ma'asiyah, from isyan, from disobedience, from deviance, protects them from even going to that realm. Case in point, example of Imam Shafi rahimahullah, the pioneer and founder of the Shafi madhab. Very, very beautiful saying of his to his teacher, Waqi'. He said, shakawtu ila waqi' suwa hifzi, فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاسِ قِيلَ إِنَّ عِلْمُ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَالنُّورُ لَا يُعْطِي لِلْعَاصِي. Imam Shafi rahimahullah is saying here in translation to his teacher, he said, I complained to my teacher Waqi' سُوَى حِفْزِي, the weakness of my memory. We all face that, don't we? We tend to forget a lot, whether we're young or big or old, whatever the thing is, male or female, we always forget. We're going to the grocery, in shop, in the list. We didn't get the list, so we just were thinking mentally, we forgot two things. We went to buy 10 things, got 8, forgot 2. We were going to and thinking that we got to get the gas, forgot to get the gas. Got stuck on the highway. We forget a lot. So Imam Shafi is talking about something that is so trivial to us, that's so precious to us. Forgetfulness, we forget a lot. So he, as being an imam, being a faqih, being a founder of a madhab, he is telling his teacher, Ya Ustaz, oh my teacher, oh my beloved Ustaz, teacher, I have a problem, I have a weakness of forgetfulness, what should I do about that? What's the solution to that? فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاسِ. His teacher, his Ustaz, did not give a big long khutbah, a big book to read, a big lecture, a big bayan, wa'ad, no. أرشدني الرشد. He pointed and directed me one. ترك المعاصي. Give up your sins. Give up your mistakes. Give up your shortcomings. Give up your errors. He said, if you give up your mistakes and disobediences and errors, you will see a grandeur difference in your memory span. You won't need these chips. You know, nowadays they have these memory keys chips, 1 gigabyte, 512 megabyte. Your brain will become 60 gigabyte memory capacity. Why? Just by leaving the ma'asi. Why? He said, قِيلَ إِنَّ عِلْمُ اللَّهِ نُورٌ. His teacher said, يَا شَافِي, the ilm of Allah, this ilm of Allah is nur, light. How will Allah give light to someone who is a disobeyer? قِيلَ إِنَّ عِلْمُ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَالنُّورُ لَا يُعْطِي لِلْعَاصِي. Allah doesn't give his nur to someone who is bent upon disobeying Allah. Allah doesn't give his nur, his glitter and glamour to someone who is recurring mistakes. See, having error is fine. Error in judgment, error in something. But what is a mistake? Something that someone is doing deliberately, knowingly. You know it's wrong, but the person is doing it. You know in your heart, I shouldn't be doing what you do. You can't find enough guts and courage to get rid of it. So how can you improve your memory? And how can you receive the nur of Allah? In order to receive the nur of Allah and increase memory, the person has to muster enough guts, enough courage and stamina to say no. To who? Shaitan? No. To your nafs. Telling the nafs no. Like we do in Ramadan. That's why Allah has put Ramadan. This is one of the hikmah of Ramadan. He shows us that for 30 days, you get the courage to say no to food and drink and other things during fasting. Why can't you do it outside fasting? Why can't you do it when fasting is not there and you're a regular person eating, drinking, everything? Why can't you muster the courage at that time? There's a wisdom behind it. And that is what Allah SWT is saying. That the muqarrabeen, the very close people to Allah SWT, the awliya, Allah yahfidhum, He protects them from the ma'asi even. Now you may ask, how? How will Allah protect someone from disobedience? Because of the fadl of their zikr. See, what did Waqi say? What did he say to Shafi? He said, leave the ma'asi, you will see your memory increase. But there's also a hidden meaning in that. He said, when you leave the ma'asi, when you leave the disobedience of Allah, of course your iman will increase. Your taqwa will increase. Because of which your memory will increase. So when the taqwa and iman is increasing, Allah is protecting that also. Why? How? That iman, that taqwa that you develop because of leaving disobedience of Allah will give you enough courage to say no at the next temptation. I want to give you a small example. Any Muslim, he or she is walking on the sidewalk and the opposite gender comes. Either gender, whatever it is you. If you are a male, it's a female. If you are a female, a male comes. You don't even have the temptation, the urge to raise your eye. You're just walking and you walk looking down. You don't even move your face, you don't even move your eyeballs even. This is called the imani strength. Taqwa strength is this. You know it's the opposite gender. So I don't have to look, because my Quran tells me, Surah Nur, that قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Tell the mu'mineen, يَغُضُّوا, lower their gaze. So if there is an opposite gender, she's not my sister, she's not my wife, she's not my mother, she's not my aunt, she's not related to me, why should I even have the urge to look this way? Or why should I even look like this? I'm just focusing. This inner strength for the mu'min to focus the eye, look at eye, how powerful it is. Do you have to move the whole body? No. Do you have to move the face? No. Look at the power of the eye. I'm looking here and I can be looking up. That is how crucial this organ is. And that is what Allah is saying. If you can control your eye movement, you are on the pyramid of taqwa, so to speak. Because controlling the ear may be much easier than that. Controlling the tongue may be easier than that. You can even control your tongue, good. But keeping the eye open, not closed, because if closed, then it's not the test. The real test is your eye is open, but you are so conscious here that you know not to look at this or this or that. Especially like in the summer months over here. If somebody musters that inner strength in June and July, that my eye is focused, because I know the environment here in New Jersey or in any America is so filthy. That inner strength, this is from one of the names of Allah, Al-Hafiz. Why? Because this person is wali Allah, muqarrab in Allah. So Allah protects them from doing a mess. Another example, you're sitting in a gathering, two brothers or two sisters, whatever the gathering is, depending on the gender, two people are making ghibah, they call each other. You being the third sitting there, you say once, brother or sister, please stop it. It's not good. It's haram in Islam. Okay. And then they continue. Say, brother, please. It's not good. It's okay if you don't want to start, but it's corrupting my ear. I don't want to listen to it. And they say, okay, if you don't want to listen, just go away. At that moment, do you sit and continue listening to them, or do you get up and leave? This is the hifz of Allah lil muqarrabi. The muqarrab, the wali of Allah, will say, no, I don't want to corrupt my ear. I rather leave this gathering, this halaqa, than listen and make what? Disobedience, ma'asi of my organ. This is the hifz of Allah. Meaning Allah gave that individual so much strength, so much courage and power to control the eye, control the ear, even leaving the gathering to control the ear. Otherwise, there are many of us who very casually just sit, say, okay, I'm not doing haram, I'm not speaking it. Okay, I'm not listening, but just because I'm stuck in this gathering, I can't move from here, so I'll just sit here quietly, let them do the ghib. No, Muqarrab will not do that. Muqarrab will become, like we say in Urdu, bichain, perturbed, restless. That's Muqarrab is. Whenever there is a ma'asi of Allah happening in front of a Muqarrab, he or she will become restless from inside, agitated, moving, doing something to conquer that. Because Allah wants to protect them. And this is what there's a maqula in Arabic saying. The Arabs love this saying a lot. I love it too. Because I'm an Arab too. So what if I was born in Pakistan? Because the Hadith of Rasulullah says, whoever speaks Arabic is an Arabi. So get to learn Arabic and you will get the nationality of Arab. That's all you need. Just, this is the best nationality you can get. You don't have to apply for passport, no visa, no iqama, no nothing. Arab. I'm not talking about ethnic background, I'm talking about Arab. You want to become Arab? Learn the Arabic language. What did he say? What is the saying in the fuqaha and the hukama and the bulagha and the Arabic language? The saying is in the maqula fil arabiyya, hasanatul al-abrar sayyatul al-muqarrabin. What a beautiful saying that the Arabs, the scholars of Arab language made. Look at it. Hasanatul abrar. The good deeds of abrar. Waman al-abrar, plural of birr. One who is in birr. Meaning, the saying does not say that they are bad people. They are already good people. Allah talks about them in the Quran. Abrar. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ وَالْهَكْنَا بِالصَّالِحِينَ. So abrar is a good thing. And the saying is saying, حَسَنَاتُ الْأَبْرَارِ, the good deeds of the pious, righteous people, the good deeds of them, are the سَيِّئَاتُ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ, are the bad deeds of the مُقَرَّبِينَ. How? When I first learned this 10 years ago when I was learning Arabic language, I was like shocked, like, doesn't make sense. It's Y plus X not equal to 3. Doesn't make sense. What's going on? Later on, when I went through drilling and exercise, talking to so many shiuch, I got it. Meaning where the highest point of an abrar finishes, that is the lowest point, because sayyat over here does not literally mean sin, but it means the lowest point of a muqarrab.
So this is abrar.
Thank you. Baraglafi. You took the words out of my mouth. Raising the bar, the threshold. Meaning abrar has certain levels, say from 0 to 50. Where the abrar finishes, this is the maximum potential, maximum output, 200 horsepower, you can't get any more from it, even if you max the engine. From here, this is the lowest point of muqarrabin. Because muqarrab is way up there. When a muqarrab comes way down, it comes to the highest. This is what he's saying. Hasanatul abrar, meaning the way a muqarrab sees, he or she sees and hears actions and things at a different threshold, at a different level. Meaning, the way a abrar jokes with another person, a muqarrab might say, no, this is against my khuluq, against my character. My character way up there. Why? Because the word muqarrab demands expectations, demands certain level. You can't be a muqarrab and do something very lowly. So in order to be muqarrab, you have to elevate yourself. And this is the hefz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hafid يحفظ المقربين من المعصية والنسيان والغفلة والكل الأشياء. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hafid protects the muqarrabin. Because what is the word muqarrabin? From qurb. These are the people who are the elite class. They are the most closest to Allah. So he or she are so close to Allah, so Allah protects them. I give you a small example of a woman, Muqarriba ila Allah, Rabia Basriya. Rabia Basriya, she lived a long time ago. I forget the century exactly, the Islamic century. I think it was 6th or 5th century, living in the Baghdad, Basra area. She was a female, Waliya of Allah, Muqarrib ila Allah. It is mentioned about her in the history books of Islam that she spoke for 40 years only Quran. She was a hafiza of Quran, memorizer of the whole Quran from Al-Fatiha to Qul A'udhu Rabbil Nas. And ma kallama shay illa Quran. She never spoke anything on the tongue except Quran. Now you might say, how? Somebody says to her, you want to eat this? She would recite an ayah, Kulu washrabu hani'an mari'a. An ayah from the Quran. Somebody asked her, what is the name of your son or daughter? She recited an ayah from the Quran. Ya Yahya, khudh al-kitab bi-quwwa. Ayah number 35, Surah Maryam. Meaning, she communicate, because people said, is it really possible to communicate with someone with Quran only? Yes. If you are Hafiz, if you're really good Hafiz of Quran, you know every single 6,236 ayats, you know each one of them, you will know which ayah to use when. Like when we communicate, you ask me things. If anyone asks me, how are you doing, brother? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik, Yawmiddin. You got the message. Yeah, I'm fine. I don't have to say, Alhamdulillah, okay, doing fine. Okay. All this is garbage. You put it on one side. Now, you might ask, why did Rabia Basriya do this? Because Rabia Basriya is teaching me and you, to the Muslims coming close to Qiyamah, the best way to get to Jannah is protect the tongue, the organ. If your tongue only speaks Quran, hal Allah yuhasibuka ala shay? Can Allah catch you in anything? No! You are in the aman of Allah. You're automatically in the protection of Allah. When is Allah going to catch you? Oh, why you recite this ayah? No. In fact, it's double-edged sword. You are not doing any sin from the tongue. Mafish ghibah, mafish namimah, mafish kazib, mafish lahu, mafish fuhsh. There is no backbiting, no slandering, no rumor mongering, no lying, no bad things. Nothing wasteful from the tongue is being accounted. Everything, that is one edge of the sword. And the second is what? You're getting ajr on every harf that you speak. So if somebody asks you, what's the name of your son? Or what is your son? She says, Ya Yahya khud al-kitab quwwa. How many ajr she got? Just replying to the question. Can we do this today? Yes. If we want to. Rabia Basriya, she was a human being like me and you. She is a female, and we have many sisters in this dunya today. Anyone can copy her if they want to. But the first thing they have to do is to memorize the Quran. And not just memorize to recite in Ramadan after Ramadan, but memorize so good you can use every day, not just Ramadan. And she has left behind, like the brother said, she raised the bar. No woman after Rabia Basriya has come till now, till 1426, Allah Alam in the 1427, after a month in Muharram, maybe somebody might come. Maybe there might be another woman born in this dunya who can challenge Rabia Basriya. But until now, for so many hundred years, she has raised the bar. This is the meaning of Hasanatul Abrar, Sayyiatul Muqarrabin. Muqarrabin reach at a place where an average Muslim cannot even go and think of. Very quickly, we'll finish with the name Al-Latif for today. The name Al-Latif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means Al-Lutf, something very subtle. What is subtle in English? Something that is subtle in English is something that is unrealized, unfelt at times. Like the best way I like to give the example of Latif, subtle, Allah, the most subtle one, Allah the Latif. You know when our babies, when our kids, when they're playing, after a while you see they slept. They slept on the carpet on the floor, or they slept on the sofa somewhere. Wherever they were playing, wherever they finished last playing, they slept over there. You, as father, mother, you come, oh, my baby's sleeping. Let me not disturb it. Because if I pick him up, she might get wake up. Let me go get a blanket. You bring a blanket. You put it on the baby. How do you put it on a baby? You throw it like that. She's going to wake up. He's going to wake up. You come, very Latif. Very Latif. Such that the baby doesn't even feel, I got a blanket. Why I remember this? Because I remember when I was a child, every time I slept somewhere like that, when I woke up, I saw a blanket on top of me. So I asked my mom, how did it come? Some angel? When I was young, she used to play. They say, yeah, some angel came in the house last night and he put it on. But later on, she told me, it's me. And I said, how did you do that? How come I never woke up? When I'm a 10-year-old, 12-year-old, at least by that time, the sleep is a little bit lighter. You can wake up if somebody puts a blanket on. But she said, this is only a mother can know. When I became a father about 6 years ago, I realized what my mother said so long ago. Because when I did it for my son, I said, this is Latif. It's so good. You know, like they say in the American slang, oh, it's so good. So good meaning why? It is so subtle, so delicate, so soft, that you, the one who's on the receiving end of the good thing, doesn't feel. This is the meaning of Allah latifun bi'ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha' bighayri hisab. Bighayri hisab. Look, where is Allah using in the Quran his name Latif? Allah says, Allah latifun bi'ibadihi. Allah is very delicate, very soft, very tender with his ibad. How? Yarzuqu man yasha' bighayri hisab. He gives rizq to whoever he wants bighayri hisab. Meaning he gives the very hisab to that person who Allah knows very well will not get corrupted, will not misuse it, will utilize properly, will not go malfunctioning and go berserk. Oh, I got rich overnight. I got so much money. So now they become corrupt now. So Allah is using the risk issue factor here, meaning when you are limited in your funds or when you have a lot in your funds, this fund management, like in this country, there's a whole science, funds management. There's a whole field. You study BS in finance, in funds management, then join any of these Wall Street companies. Allah says that I manage your funds based on your ahwal. When you need it, you get it. When you don't need it, you will not get it. And when it is muhir, when it is dangerous for you, you will not get it. Meaning, that is one aspect of Latif. There are many, many aspects. If I start here, go till Fajr. But we can't sit till Fajr, so don't worry, I'm not scaring you. Latif here is in risk aspect. In other aspects, in our ma'amilat, we know that somebody is going to about to hurt us, some family member, some loved one, uncle, aunt, cousin, nephew, niece, anyone is about to hurt us. Allah is so Latif and protect, because this name Al-Latif comes with Al-Hafiz, hence Allah will protect his very close people. How? With looks, that he will save you from a loved one from coming towards you to hurt you. Like somebody is today bent upon hurting me. They say, I'm going to make sure I get to that brother's house, go there and see him, blah, 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 and I don't care. I'm going to just let my heart out. But when I hear that, my heart may be distressed. I may be broken. So Allah will do something for that person that he doesn't get to my house. But did I know all this? No. This is going in a realm. This is going in a whole system that Allah knows it and controls it, and I'm not even aware. The most I get to know is somebody might say, oh, do you know that brother Fulan, did he come to your house? Because he told me that he was going to your house to say all these things. And I say, oh no, when was that? Oh, last week he was saying he was going to go to you. And then when you meet that brother, suddenly, spontaneously, oh, I heard you were going to come to my house last week. Oh yeah, he said I was planning coming, but I got a flat tire on the road. Or I got an accident on the car, in the road. Allah latifun bi'ibadihi, yahfuzuhum. Hifz and lutf comes together. And I want to close today with example of Allah's lutf and latif, that Allah says, لَا تُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارِ وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارِ وَهُوَ اللَّتِيفُ الْخَبِيرِ. That is another name that Allah uses with lutf, khabir. He's very khabir, very well aware what is good for us, what is bad for us. That is why in our dua, we should never say, oh Allah, please give me this, please, I have to get this, Allah. Because Allah is khabirun bi'ibadi. Allah knows that if you get this, you'll die. Why would Allah want you to die when it's not made for you to die? So you, when you are making dua, you're making from one end, from limited sight, limited aql, limited brain. So that is why Rasulullah said, never be adamant, stubborn in your dua. Never say, oh Allah, you have to give me, otherwise I'll stop praying. This is kufr, shirk. How can you demand Allah, astaghfirullah, is not our slave. We are the slaves of Allah. Allah, I have to get this or else I'll die. I'll just suicide. Are you challenging Allah? Are you debating with Allah? Are you playing games with Allah? Allah is Allah. Get to know Allah, Al-Latif. That is why he said, when you ask dua to Allah, ask dua in such a way of tawadu, khushu, ajizi, inkisari ki saath. Itne ajizi, inkisari hai ki insaan bilkul mit jaye. I mean, asking Allah in such a way that a person is totally beseeched in the way of Allah. Not in the aggressive sense. Why? Because Allah is saying He's well aware. So maybe the thing that I'm asking day in, day out. And sometimes we ask so much that we get frustrated. We stop asking. Like somebody asks you, what happened? You were saying you wanted that, you were making dua. Oh yeah, I stopped making dua for that. Man, it's not worth it. I've been making dua for 6 months, I didn't get it. 6 months, man, it's a long time. Khalas, that's it? Patience ran out in 6 months? You got tired from Allah? Just because you asked for 6 months or something and Allah didn't give you? Because Allah is khabirun bi'ibadi. Allah knew that that is not meant for you. If you got that, you'll be lost, doomed, khusran. So this is the look of Allah. That's why Rasulullah said, when you ask in dua, he say, إِن كَانَ خَيْرٌ لِي فَعَثِينَ وَإِن كَانَ شَرٌ لِي فَبْعَدْنِي. This is the thing, this is the way of asking dua. That, oh Allah, what my heart is into right now, yes, I want to get it, but if it's khair for me, give it to me, Allah. But if it's not, إِبْعَدْنِي, make me away. But not just make me away, then give me sakina. Because see, when we are so much into something, when we are so much loving something, we want to get it, have to get it at any cost, and we don't get it, you feel a vacuum, a void inside. You feel like something is lost. So you ask Allah, oh Allah, replace this vacuum, this emptiness with iman, taqwa, khushu, khashya. Because this emptiness, shaitan will come and occupy and say, ah, did I tell you? What's the good of being Abdul Rahman? Come, be Abdul Shaitan and I'll give you more things. This is how shaitan will play with that vacuum. So never make dua and leave vacuum in your heart. Always say, اِبْعَلْنِي مِنْهُ وَاجْعَلْنِي خَيْرٌ فِي شَيْءٍ آخَرٍ وَسَكِّنْنِي. Like, I mean, I'm saying in Arabic because I make dua in Arabic, but like say in your language, in English or Urdu, you can say, oh Allah, replace this thing with something better than it and give me sakina, give me peace and tranquility. Give me khashya, oh Allah. This is the dua you should make. Or in Urdu, you can say, Ya Allah, mujhe sakina de de, mujhe itminan de de. Ya Allah, mere dil ko thandak pahuncha de. Ki agar mere liye khair nahi, mujhe nahi milna chahiye. So that the person should have that vacuum replaced by something, because if you don't replace it by something, shaitan will come and grab that vacuum. And you know, when vacuum is grabbed by shaitan, he can play with your mind, emotion, thought. That is why when you ask people how you feel, they say, I'm very frustrated, I'm very pessimistic. In the dictionary of a mu'min, there is no word as frustration. Muslim, she or he can never say, I'm very frustrated. No, this is not from the dictionary of a mu'min. Because he or she should say in every hal, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah ala kulli ish. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Whatever my hal, Alhamdulillah. Not frustration, pessimism. And that is what Allah SWT is saying here. Two examples from the Quran about lots of Allah SWT is Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam and Sayyidina Musa al-Islam. There are so many examples of lots. But I want to show you and finish with this today. I know we went a bit over time, but I like this example because I just want to show you. Because many of us, we know the story of Yusuf al-Islam. You know how he went through his brothers and all that. So I just want to show you in the incident, I want to highlight to you the latif of Allah in the incident. No mother want to give her child away. Right? No mother. You ask any mother today, I test this with my wife every day. Say, what if I take this baby, give it to somebody? She said, will you accept his father? I said, yeah, I can, no problem. For a day or two, no. She said, not even for a second, millisecond. This is just to show you how strong the motherhood with the child. That's one thing. Same thing with no child would himself ever want to run away from the house. You ask any 4-year-old, 5-year-old young child whose happiness with his father, mother, everything. You say, hey, you want to run away? He said, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Did you drink or get drugs or something? Why are you asking me? Why should I run away? And in these two stories, we see the exactly there as a test. In Musa al-Islam, her own hand, putting Musa al-Islam in the tabut and putting in what? Imagine, as there are so many sisters here. Ask yourself as a mother, how would you feel putting your newborn child, not a month old, 2 month old, newborn in and going away? Imagine. Allah says, وَأَصْبَى فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. فارغ, خالي. يعني قلبها, her heart became, فؤاد means heart, قلب. Allah is saying her heart became empty. لَوْلَا رَبَطْنَاهُ إِنْ كَانَتْ تُبْدِيهُ. Had we, Allah is saying, had we not tightened her heart, she would have certainly said, my baby, my baby. And then the Pharaoh's army will come. خلاص. Allah لَطِيفٌ بِعِبَادِهِ. He gave the strength to Umm Musa in the heart, keep quiet. And Allah kept a promise to Musa. Ya Umm Musa, إِنَّ الْرَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ We will return it to you. This baby, yes, it's going away, but only for a few hours. Because this baby will come back to you in the same shape, but in a domain, in a system that you will not know. You know what? We are limited. We are caused. Even though it's Musa, mother of a prophet, she's still insane like me and you. She's not Al-Aleem Al-Khabib. She doesn't know. How is Allah going to return to her? Then Allah says in the Quran, وَحَرَّمْنَا الْمَرَاضِعِ We made haram every kind of meal from Musa. Because the wife of Pharaoh, she would bring all the women from the city. No one. Every rejected. So finally, mother of Musa came back. Allah is Latif in the ibadi. He separated the mother and son. He rejoined the mother and son without the adu, enemy knowing this is mother and son. Did Pharaoh know, oh, this is mother of Musa? He would have chopped both of them. He does not know. Even the people in the city don't know. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sister of Musa alayhi salam, because she is the one who told the mother to come. This is just giving a small lining how Allah is Latif. Why? Because when the mother is putting in the tabut, she's crying. Qalbaha, when it is empty. What is that? In psychological terms today, that is a negative emotion, right? Negative. You feel bad, hazeen, depressed. You feel like this is the end of my life, my child, baby girl. But she doesn't know, few hours later, not a few days, few months, few weeks, few hours later, this same baby, Qalbi, will come back to her. In a way that both are protected. This is the lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Allah is saying, when there is a hazeen moment, when there is a depressing moment, I'm trying to give you this explanation so that we as Muslims should never say, I am feeling frustrated, I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling anxious, anxiety. I feel restless. I feel like going jump. I know this because women tend to say that, with all due respect, don't take me wrong, but you know, I have a wife, I have a sister, I have a mother, and I have a daughter. And dealing with women, I know that it's not that men don't say it, men say it also. But women, they say it so fast. And what we're learning in this incident is that when we are going through a depressing moment, especially for women, because women go through childbirth, which we men never go through. You can ask any psychiatrist, any psychologist, 9 months is very tough times. And yes, I agree with that. I see that with my own eyes, being a father of three. But how difficult it is, those days, for the woman. At that moment, we should be remembering the lutf of Allah. In fact, for the mother that is hamila, she should be making the word, zikr of Allah, Ya Latifu, Ya Latifu, Ya Latifu, Ya Latifu. The whole 9 shuhur, she should be making Ya Latifu, Ya Latifu, Ya Latifu. Because Allah will then, in'am alay, Allah will bestow more lutf of His on her. What I'm trying to show is that we should never, in the depressing moment, in the sad moments of our lives, we should never feel grieved and depressed. Rather, we should be making dua and istighfar in that time, that perhaps Allah will make this grieving moment, depressing moment, into good. Just like the mother of Musa, when she put in the tabut and left it away, she's now depressed and grieving. So she start, you know, Allah is telling her that in this moment, the khayr will come. Just patience. Meaning many times in our life, bad things happen to us. Accident of a car, loss of a job, we are trying to catch a plane, miss the plane, all the luggage with me, the ticket there, what am I going to do? I have to get there for Eid celebration, to my homeland. I mean, these are scenarios that are negative. On the zahir picture, these are all negative scenarios. But what is the action of a mu'min in those situations? Astaghfirullah and zikr of Allah. Ya Latifu, Ya Latifu. Even if you're at the airport, you miss the plane, the moment you missed it, stop banging on the counter, shouting, pulling your hair, just remembering, Ya Latifu, Ya Latifu. This name is so beautiful, wherever you use it, you will see immediately, mubasharat, immediately the lutf of Allah begins to descend. Sakina descends. First thing is sakina, itminan, sukoon. Because when you are in a depressing moment, the first thing you lose is sukoon, right? You become restless. So at that moment, you need like an IV of sukoon, interjection. And the best way is, Ya Latifu, Ya Latifu, Ya Latifu. Finally, with the same thing with Yusuf al-Islam. He was a young boy, young child, but he went away from his father and brothers. And he grew up all his life far away in Egypt. Father and brothers over there in Jerusalem, Baitul Maqdis, in that area. He is growing up in Egypt, so far away. Imagine a young child, 9, 10 year old, growing away from him. We as parents, when we send our children to boarding school, ask every father and mother how they feel. Boarding school, oh my God, how's it going to feel? And here is the Prophet, Nabi Allah, Rabbi fi Bayt al-Aziz wa Abuhu Yaqub al-Islam, he's so far away. Allah latifun bi'ibadi. Because Allah wants to fulfill the dream. But in that, there is a negative thing. I want to show you the negative things here. And how that negative is for a purpose. Because sometimes Allah puts the khair in the negative. This is what I wanted to explain with Latif. This is the conclusion. Sometimes we have to swallow the sour medicine. Sometimes we have to take that pill. Sometimes we have to take that depressing negative moment, because the khair for the time being is in there. Now Yusuf Islam's brother, they take him away from the father into the desert. Negative moment number one. Then they say, let's kill him, but Allah saves him. How? Oh, put him in the well. Negative moment number two. He's deep down there on the bottom of the well. He doesn't know how am I going to be saved. Nothing. Zikr of Allah, that's it. That's negative moment number two. Then a caravan comes, they want water, they're feeling thirsty. Oh, there's a well, let us go there. They don't know there's no water in the well. If there was a sign, no water here, you think they'll come there? Never. Look how Allah creates asbab to save his ibad. Yusuf Islam is in the well, he has to be saved. Allah made zarura, ijbariyin. Purposely, Allah created a means for a caravan to become thirsty. Oh, we don't have water, let's go get water. So they go get water. They put in the bucket. So it's pretty heavy. That means a lot of water is coming up. When they come up, oh, my hands are over there. They could have, I want to show you here, looks of Allah's one. They could have, in a split second, think in the brain, oh, no water. What am I going to do with this boy? Drop it down. Let it go down. Possible? Very possible. Negative moment number four. Very possible. But how is Allah Latif and Ba'idari? Allah, although they have futur, they have fitna. Oh, ghulam. So let's capture him. Let's make him ghulam slave, and let's hide him so that we can make money when we go to Egypt. This event, zahiri, is negative. Yes, nobody likes to become a slave. Nobody likes to be kidnapped. Really, Yusuf Islam is kidnapped by these people in the caravan, but this is also for khair. If you were in that situation, you would say, Ya Allah, I want to be saved, and now I'm kidnapped. But in the kidnapping, there is khair, because when they go to Egypt, they sell him, they release him. So he تنقل من المكان إلى مكان بأسباب متغيرة. وهذا هو اللطف of Allah. And when he gets there, the Aziz puts him in his house. And then he gets to the jail. Every, I mean, it's a long story, but I want to show you, if you really want to see the clear picture of the lutf of Allah, Latif, read Surah Yusuf, you will find full of lutf of Allah. Every single incident that is negative in Surah Yusuf, stop a second and think, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Allah is showing that in the negative things in your life that comes in your way, a failing exam, a failing of a degree, a missing of a job, a missing of some milestone, anything that we miss, anything that is depressing in our life, it is there for a purpose. We need not to become frustrated and negative. Rather, we should at that moment do two things. What are they? Zikr of Allah. But before zikr comes, istighfar. First thing should come, astaghfirullah, 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 and then zikr, any zikr. My take on that, my prescription medicine is, say ya latifu, because then sakina comes right away. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirukum 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 wa asta